Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin. Again.
Wow, we're finally doing this.
We're only a day late because we record on Thursday and it comes out on Friday. But welcome back to another episode of The Sportsman. That's Joseph Cold Cuts. I am Big Ticket. He is coming to us from Washington, D.C., drinking out of a Comcast mug. That's beautiful. NBC, got to support him. Wow, how's the trip? How you doing, man? How you doing?
I'm staying like 20 minutes outside of DC in this place called McLean or Tyson's Corner or something like that. I don't know. It's really nice. We're going to play some golf today and tomorrow. And then I might be playing congressional on Monday, so we'll see. And then I head to Jupiter, Florida for, 6 days? And then back to LA and then out to Boston and then out to Europe and then to Lake Tahoe I go. And then I go...
It's a lot. Jeez, you are booked to the gills for the year, sounds like. At least
if anybody
needs
an apartment for the next month in LA, I have a spare one bedroom apartment up for grabs.
Wow, maybe me.
The small price of $500, I will give you the place for the month.
Are you actually going to be gone?
I'm not going to be. I leave for Jupiter on Tuesday. I'm in Jupiter till the 6th. I come back on the 6th to LA. Then on the 15th, I leave to go to Boston. I'm in Boston until the 20th. And then on the 22nd, I leave to go to Europe until the 1st of July. And then from the 6th of July to the 10th, I'm in Lake Tahoe. And then after that, I got to go to Nantucket. So like, it's aside from a few days here or there.
Wait, so is Lake Tahoe the Josh Allen thing, the pro-am?
Yes. Yeah. That's nice. The pro-am. Yeah. So you got a place to stay, Tick, if you want. That place is, it's available starting.
For a cool $500. I got
now, for you, Ticket, for you, Ticket, I'd do for $200. If you're a four, one of the 400 faithful, we'll do it for $350. Okay.
That's a great price for a guy who will still be there between the 6th and the 15th. So you do still have a roommate.
Nine days. Yeah. eight and a half, actually.
Well, can you tell the people what you're doing in Jupiter yet? Or is that still?
We're kind of trying to solidify a couple different golf collaborations. Good's going to happen again. So that's going to be with Grant and Garrett.
Nice.
That's going to be awesome. Those always do generate big time numbers. So those are always fun. And then looks very promising. I don't want to say it's a confirmed yet, but we're trying to get, Trevor Lawrence and Christian Kirk to do a collab as well, which I think could generate a ton of activity. So, you know, I don't mind saying it on the Sportsman because you know these people are privy
to
knowing.
That's for the 400 right there. That's why I think our numbers coming back.
Our numbers are growing prior to today.
Every time we catch a little steam, prior to the late release of this week's podcast,
that doesn't help numbers. But yeah, it would be really really good for numbers. And I think the views would do great on it. So we'll see. We got a couple things in the works. We got a bunch of people hitting us up, wanting to do collabs and stuff like that. And those are just super fun. We just finished Scottsdale, Arizona, which was awesome. We got a ton of videos. I think the speed golf we did with Perez is going to break the internet. It's absolutely hysterical. We did this thing where you have to play a hole. You have to run from the time that you hit the golf ball off the tee. You have to run. And we were staying on the first hole, like halfway up the first hole. Our Airbnb was there. So we had set up a beverage. You had to chug a beverage, eat a taco, and then finish the hole. And it is hysterical. We had drone footage. We had a cart following. It's going to be super good. And then we did another match with 4PlayPod and JJ Watt, which was super cool. It was like a par three course, so super small little course, but just fun. And everybody's trying to throw darts. And then we did a bunch of matches with Perez too. So the content, we only have a lot of videos in the chamber, which is great.
So the last I heard from the Jet was Bob asked Jet, why don't we do a drone sometime? And Jet said, I'd rather quit.
Well, no, Jet didn't do the drone. We got a guy named Tristan.
That was my question, was who did the drone?
Doing Things Media helped get us a guy in Scottsdale. His name was Tristan. Super nice guy. Would love to have him more frequently. The guy is really, really good. He was just super attentive and really like a go-getter. And he was flying the drone and Jet was filming. So we had multiple camera angles with the drone footage. So these things are unreal, dude. These things, they fucking just, they like hover up. But the footage that they get is unbelievable.
It's like unbelievable. It's clear and dude, the best drones, I don't know. I'm sure you guys probably had the best or at least close to it. They go from 0 to 100 in less than 2 seconds. Miles per hour.
This thing was flying, dude. Like he'd press it and the thing would just fly down the course. It was so sick.
It almost feels like it. Like I've watched it on Good a couple times. It almost seems like, I don't even know how you take a swing when you hear that thing buzzing around.
Speaking of drone footage, did you see the Tom Brady drone video?
I have that first on the list.
I think Tom that is Brady. So fake. That is so not. That is. And by the way, people are buying into it left, right, and center. They're like, this guy just can't do any wrong. That is such a fake CGI compilation video that like you could see by the time that, because the ball goes out of view.
I agree.
And then the ball comes back into view and the way that it lands and it goes in the
tracks
hole,
to the hole.
It just once looks it lands. So not real.
It doesn't look like, I mean, drone footage is really good and it can look like that, but it looked messed with. But I will say this, and I want to preface, I agree with you. I think it's fake. And I think everything about that looks fake. But I have to say the one thing that makes me think it might be real is that Tom Brady would be cooked and buried alive.
Who can prove?
If anyone said, yeah, because we obviously he had a drone guy, he had a camera guy, and it sounded like there were other people behind him. So there's enough, there was at least 7 people there that he has to, like, you don't see a fucking word. You don't
It's Tom Brady. Of course, they're not going to say a word. Once again, Tom Brady just, you know, completely fooling the masses. He said he was going to retire, and then all of a sudden, Tom Brady's back. Now he's posing and getting a hole in one. This guy is.
But what's that cameraman owe Tom Brady a year from now and be like, yeah, it was fucking fake. Remember the hole in one? It's fucking fake. I mean,
I'm sure
too many people. Were
I'm
there.
Sure the money that he's getting paid by Tom Brady is going to keep him shut up.
Well, yeah. I just think
because they're all in on it. So why involved. Would they? Yeah. But if they're all in on it, too, why would they come out and say that it was fake if they're all in on it?
Because that
could be like being part of a conspiracy theory.
Forever.
It'd be like being part of like an actual conspiracy theory that went down and then going and releasing the conspiracy theory to the masses. Why would you do that? It's all kept under wraps, Tick.
Well, because there's whistleblowers. And what if, you know, a lot of times those people talk because they were fired for different reasons. And they're like, well, fuck you. You're going to fire me. I'm going to talk about the shit I wasn't supposed to talk about. That's actually the way I got here was that there's too many people there that, you know, the more people involved, it's harder to keep a secret.
There's like 5 people there and they're all his buddies.
I mean, maybe the drone guy, he better.
If I told you Jet, Bob and say Perez, or say there's 5 of us, I said, we're going to make a video where it looks like we get a hole in one. We're going to use a drone to capture it.
Right.
Of course. You're not. No one's.
Well, but you didn't list the drone guy. The drone guy is the guy I'm worried about. I'm not worried about all of us. I'm worried about.
Well, I'm sure Tom's pretty close with his drone guy. That's the guy who's got to make it happen.
You think Tom and his drone guy are like this? They're just, well, I hope. Anyway, that's the only thing. I started the whole thing. I agree with you. I think everything about it looks completely fake. But sometimes when there's too many people involved, and even if he does have 100% or even 99%,
think about the amount of views that video did. And think about the timing that video is being released at. Okay. It just so happens that his match is next week. Is that a coincidence? I don't think so. His match with Rodgers against Josh Allen and Mahomes is next week. So it just so happens they release this video. I haven't seen any video footage of Tom Brady on a golf course in months. Months. So what a perfect time to release this little snack into the world. And by the way, every big golf channel shared it. Zyre, golf ball, every single one. It's getting millions of views. It's getting tons of buzz. And what? And even we're talking about it right now. So now everybody's going to go and they're going to watch the match. And they're going to talk about Tom Brady and his hole in one and this and that. It's a publicity stunt, and it's very smart and it's done very well. But that's it's like people
it was
need
on Sports to, Center too. Yeah,
of course it was everywhere.
Yeah,
and you don't think that that's going to generate more views, which is going to be more money in his pocket?
Listen, I agree with everything you're saying. All I'm saying is if there's even if that gets out ever, that it might even
it's not going to get
fake,
out.
This guy's already gone through the cheating with the deflation.
Well, yeah, like, you know he likes to. He likes to bridge the barrier a little bit. You know that.
I guess he does.
My thing is, if this was released like 2 months ago, before the match was announced, before anything, I would be way more willing to accept that this is something that is legitimate and something that is just really cool. It's just the timing is so perfect for him to release this right before the match.
Yeah, no,
for I mean, record, I'd like to hear, I'd like to hear what the faithful have to say and hit us up and tell us what you think. But to me, it's, This is a hose job, Tick.
Yeah, I didn't look at the comments on any of those videos. I wonder how many people down there below were saying.
A lot of people.
Were they?
A lot of people. Well, there was a lot of people who were just saying things like, this guy's the GOAT. The guy can do no wrong. But then there was like a bunch of people, like a handful on the Zyre post anyways, who was saying like, anybody who thinks this is real needs to watch it again. It's not. It's not. The wool has been pulled over your eyes.
I wonder how many people it really reached that weren't going to watch the match anyway. Like, I feel like it just got to all of us who were already going
to
watch.
It went to the entire golfing community. Everybody's probably
and all those people
that.
Are going to watch already.
Now, I don't know necessarily.
Now, let me ask you this. Do I have to pay for this or is this going to be on TV?
It should be on TV. You don't have to pay for this. The last one was on TV anyways. The DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka one, I think, was the last one they did.
They've
last
all been on TV, I believe, but this is they're
it's on TNT, I think.
Okay,
it's on TNT, and you can bet it too, by the way.
Oh yeah, of course. That's what I'm gonna be.
I bet last time I took Brooks Koepka, it was like the easiest bet of all time. Bryson was terrible. I think the match was over by like the ninth hole.
Dude, that guy, yeah, I didn't bet that one, but I bet the one before that during the pandemic with Tiger and Tom and
it's gonna be hard Brady. For me. Yeah, that one was good. It's gonna be hard for me to root for Tom Brady, but I'm gonna have to because he's playing with Aaron.
Yeah. Oh, so you're gonna take him and Aaron?
I don't know. I mean, see, the thing is, Josh Allen's my guy too. So like, I'm kind of torn. I just want them both to play very well. I hope Aaron and Josh play amazing and Mahomes and Brady play subpar.
Well, yeah, Mahomes is one of the best.
Not subpar, like as in the shooting under par.
One of the best. I've never seen Aaron swing a golf club before. But
have you seen Mahomes swing?
That's what I'm saying is Mahomes is incredible. He's incredibly
good. Is he really? I have not seen him play.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen him play all the way through. So a lot of times, like I've only ever seen Josh Allen hit a drive. So he can bomb it. But how was he around the greens? I hope he's good.
I'll be able to give you some intel sooner than later.
Now, have you gotten a little peek into your outfit from Proud 90?
I can't do the full caddy outfit. I can't. They got to wear it's a mandated bib or something that I got to wear, a vest that I got to wear. So I don't know what we're going to do. We're going to have to figure. I mean, I can't go against what am I going to fucking break regulations so I can wear.
What do you wear underneath your bib, though?
You wear a shirt and shorts and tennis shoes.
Oh, man. That's such a shame that they're not going to let. Is this a PGA run event or is this a?
No, I think it's a celebrity run event, but it's pretty, you know, like they run it pretty, you know, like a legitimately official and it's, you know, it's, you know, it's 4 days. It's no joke. Like it's an official tournament. I don't know if the proceeds go to charity. I think it does. I should probably know that, but it was funny.
Yeah, I mean,
I played Bel Air Country Club yesterday or 2 days ago. And I was just like, I played with a caddy and I was just like watching him like a hawk. I was just watching what he does. And he was giving me reads that I would never ever have seen. And I'm like, oh boy, if I have to give Josh like reads, I'm going to be in trouble. Cause the greens are so fucking fast. Like you have to pick a point and you just have to go with it. So hopefully like the first couple holes, I give him some decent advice. So like he's.
Well, you got to walk the course the morning before the match. You know, you got to do your reconnaissance. You got to go check out the greens. Maybe do a little putting.
Apparently it's
I'm
beautiful.
Sure they'll let you.
Edgewood apparently is gorgeous.
I'm sure it is.
I need to get like a yardage map. I got to get like everything set up. I mean, I'm not
a little homework if you don't want to get embarrassed. You got to spend a little time, pen and paper, actually get out there.
Well, I don't think anybody's expecting me to go out there and get him to shoot the course record here, Dick.
Josh is.
Well,
Bel Air, by the way, is where I had that caddy that I almost went to blows with. That piece of shit. I wonder if he's still working there. I hope he got fired. I hope his family. Yeah,
You know what? You let that get to you. See, you and I both had. So I had a caddy this week. It's the same caddy that I got into it like a few times ago. I played there a few times now. The first time I went to play, I played with Bob and a guy who was a follower. He was watching the podcast and all our stuff, and he hit us up and he said we'd love to have you guys come out and play Bel Air. And you know, you don't get to play courses like that too often. So we jumped on it. We went out there. And I was, you know, I was playing okay. I was not playing great. I'm not a great golfer. Like, people seem to like think that I'm like a good golfer. I'm not a good golfer. And I made a couple bad shots. And then he made a couple comments. Like, I made a putt on like the second hole or the third hole. And he's like, yeah, that's gone. It's blown by the hole. And it wasn't. It was like a pretty good putt. And I was like, that was kind of an obnoxious thing to say. And then like a few holes later, he made another little comment. And so it was kind of like irking me a little bit. And just his attitude. And I was like, dude, you're supposed to be like,
right.
Like, it's like as if you had a waiter and the waiter's making snide remarks about your ordering.
Yep.
Be like, you know, oh, that's not really the best entree to order. And it's like that's not your place to say. And then what got it for me is there's a hole that kind of blinded. Like, there's trees on the right hand side and I put it right. It was not a good shot. So I couldn't really see where the ball was tracking to or if it was going to go out of bounds. So it was kind of like stepping off to the left side of the tee box to kind of track just to see where the shot is. And he was like, oh yeah, that's gone. There's no need to look for it. Mm-hmm. And I fucking lost it, Tick. I said, you know what? Nobody asked for your goddamn opinion. So as far as I'm concerned, you can shut the fuck up and just help caddy for me instead of making these snide remarks.
Yeah.
And I think everybody on the tee box was like shocked that I went into him, including the guy himself. And he was silent. Like, Bob looked at me like, what are you doing? I was like, I don't care, man. I'm here to enjoy myself. Like, I'm not here to like listen to this guy get in my ear. You know what I mean? And from that point on, he was silent. And then we got so bombed on the course. We got so drunk that Bob couldn't drive his car back. And we had to leave the car at Bel Air. And when we were coming to go back, we were going to take an Uber. Now, Bel Air Country Club's in the middle of nowhere. So the caddy goes, don't worry, I got you guys. He drove us to the restaurant we were going, didn't take any money for the drive or whatever. I was like, listen, guys, you know, it was super good having you today, you know, hope you guys had a good time. Like, he did a 180. Yeah. I don't know if he was worried that the guy
who was
the member was going to be like, yo, what the fuck? You pissed the guy off? Or like, if you what? But then I've played with him the last two times and the guy has been nothing short of so nice to me. So I guess that, you know, I flipped the switch, but you had a similar experience and you just let the guy get in your head. No.
Well, the thing is, I was playing with Back Nine and Bob, and I had just met Back Nine, and Back Nine basically brought me along. It was super nice. And like, so when you go to these courses, you don't get to just go in and pay away. Not even Back Nine. It doesn't matter how much money you have. You need to get sponsored by someone who's actually a member there. That's the way it works. So it was me, Back Nine, Bob, and a member there. So I was a representative of not only Back Nine, if he wanted to play there again, don't embarrass him, but also the member who was playing with us too. And so I remember we walk up on one and I go up to this guy and I try to like lay down just like, hey man, I'm not very good. So I go up to him and I go, listen, I'm not the best. I'm out here to have a good time, enjoy myself with my friends. And how are we going to do? Are we going to be all right today? And he goes, well, you know, if I didn't know how to swim, I wouldn't jump into the deep end of a pool. And Bob just
actually hysterical line.
It's a good line. But can you imagine, like, why do caddies? This guy's at his job. This is his job. And well,
and not only that, he's relying on you guys tipping him.
Yeah, yeah. Which, you know. So anyway,
the waiter comparison is actually a really good comparison because it's very similar. And you can't imagine like a server talking shit to you when you're in a restaurant.
Yeah. I mean, there's those occasional restaurants where they like the whole experience is that they're mean to you. But like other than that,
that's a one off.
Yeah. I don't give a shit, dude. So all I wanted to do all day was put this guy in his place. But I was like, dude,
you should have, Dick. You know, you should have.
If I freaked out on him, not only would I not have gotten the internship with Back Nine, I would have risked that. I would have risked this guy giving Back Nine a bad name and never getting sponsored.
You wouldn't have risked your integrity. You would have felt pretty damn good giving it right back to him.
But you know what also feels good?
Now, for the rest of the time now, we're still talking to this day about how you wish you could get back at this guy.
Yeah, but do you know what also feels good?
What?
Is being part of the internship.
Yeah, the scholarship, you mean?
The scholarship with Back Nine.
Yeah, Back Nine loves you.
Pretty good, too.
Yeah, but I see. I'm at the age now, maybe I'm just getting older. I'm at the age now where I just don't care. Like, and I should, but like, I will treat people with respect. I'll always be nice to people. But if you're going to, in front of people, like, disrespect me, I will fucking give it right back. I don't need to deal with that. Nobody should have to deal with getting insulted in front of other people. Like, especially when you're in a setting, like that's a hospitality situation. Like, and I've been in hospitality my whole life. I just know do's and don'ts. You just don't do that. And for me, it's like, I don't know. I agree with where you're saying. You have a lot more integrity than I do, obviously, but like, it would have felt nice just to put that guy in his place.
Don't get me wrong. Every single tee box, Bob and I were talking about it. And I was getting closer and closer. But and trust me, if I was there on my own volition, I paid my own way. There would have been nothing holding me back. But when I represent somebody else,
yeah,
great opportunity, I have to bite my tongue. And if I know the experience is going to end, if I had to spend a whole weekend with this guy, I mean, I would have had to do it. But anyway, you know, it is what it is. But while we're on the moment of golf, I know it now, I guess it's almost been a week, but we haven't talked in almost a week. Let's talk a little bit about this rookie, Mito Pereira, and his epic collapse at the PGA last week. What a
disaster that was.
Do you think the rookie's going to bounce back from that? Or do you think that's one of those mental things that totally fucks with you for a long time?
Golf is such a mental game. It's so... like, you know, it's one of those things where you just can get in your own head and get in your own way so much. It's really difficult to say. I was really impressed with how he was playing up until that last hole. Right. Like, he faced a lot of adversity and he was able to like get out of a lot of difficult situations and hold serve, so to speak, like to keep himself in position where all he needed to do was par that hole and he would have won that golf match. It wasn't like he needed to birdie. Was
bogey it to go to the playoff. With Zalatoris and Justin Thomas.
Yes. Well, and he could have come second. He cost himself. The only
thing he couldn't do was double bogey.
Could you imagine going into that hole? He cost himself. Almost
never happens anyway. And then he did the one.
Well, I don't know why he didn't take a 3-wood off the tee or just be more conservative. Like he obviously he was dealing. He was fighting with it. I think the fact that it was a major on a Sunday, as opposed to a regular tournament, makes it way more just the intensity and the pressure must have been, you know, for someone like that too. He's kind of, you know, trying to make a name for himself. I think he's really good friends with Joaquin Neiman, and you could see Neiman was rooting for him on the 18th hole. Now, I got a lot of flack, me and Bob and our crew, because we were watching this in Scottsdale from the live stream with the 4Play guys. Oh, and a bunch of them, like Bob, I didn't, but Bob and Jet and a bunch of them had Zalatoris to win.
Right.
And so when we're watching him, and I want to know your thoughts about this, okay? When we're watching him tee off, we know we need him to bogey in order to tie, to go to a playoff. And we see him shank one into the water, and everybody started going nuts. Now, on the comments, they put up the video of everybody going crazy and cheering and going wild. The comments were roasting everybody, saying that is not – it's a gentleman's game. How could you cheer against this guy? He lost almost $2 million doing this. In my mind, and we're rooting for our guy that we placed a bet on. You know what I mean? It's just the same as if you're rooting – in football for a team and a quarterback throws an interception and you're cheering because the defense is going to try to score a touchdown off an interception. To me, I have no qualms about it. It sucks. It's unfortunate. Like, if I'm just looking at it from like face value, I feel bad for the guy, but like, if you're rooting for somebody to win and that guy's behind the guy that you need to screw up and he screws up, I feel like the grounds for celebrating is not a terrible thing, but the amount of comments of people saying, you know, that this is so terrible. Like, how would you post this? This is, well, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think it's like a bad form to cheer against somebody, like to celebrate?
No, not when at they all. I'm in lockstep with you here. I think it's no different than a quarterback's down seven or he's down three and it's a 2 minute drill and hey, we gotta go down and he throws an interception and the D-back takes it in for a touchdown. That's the exact same thing. What, but why in golf? Oh, he lost $2 million.
It's a stigma of golf. Is it's a gentleman's game, and everybody should be. It's like,
yeah, I don't fuck that. Fuck that. That's ridiculous.
I agree completely. I could not believe. If you get a chance, go to 4Plays page and go down, scroll down to the place to the video where you see us celebrating and going Jets going nuts, Bob's going crazy. They're all going nuts,
right?
And you just read the amount of comments just throwing shade at us.
Were the 4Play guys giving you shit, or was it just the comments?
No, we were celebrating with the 4Play guys. A bunch of them had Zalatoris, but a bunch of people in the comments were just roasting us, saying like, "How could you cheer? Like that's
fuck
so
them. Fuck that." Dude, I mean, it's like also, you know what? Also, if they want to play the $2 million card, this guy's a rookie. He, you know how many more of these he's going to be at? You know how much? And you know how many events they play in the year that will add up to more than $2 million? Like, don't worry about this guy's paycheck. He's going to be just fine.
I look at like in the past, all these players when Tiger was at his peak, all these guys who had like multiple stroke leads, and then Tiger would come and like, they would fall apart and Tiger would take over. Everybody was celebrating Tiger. They weren't like, oh, this poor guy, this, you know, Rocky Media or what was his name? Who fucked up all these guys. No, like, oh my goodness, look at this poor guy. It's like, they're celebrating the fact that Tiger won. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's the same thing, but I was just shocked. I was really surprised.
It's no different than a quarterback throwing an interception, you know, a guy giving up a home run in the ninth. It's no different. It's a sport. If you want to call it a gentleman's sport, then
there's people in sports, there's collapses all the time. And to go back to answer your question, I think this guy is going to show a lot of integrity if he can bounce back from this and go back and really, you know, play and challenge the field and you know, in his next several tournaments, like really play well again, you know, it's probably something that he'll never forget. In some ways, when you have a situation like that, it can actually propel and help you in the future. Cause you can like look back and see, like, if you're in near the top of the leaderboard, like, this is what I did last time. I'm not going to allow that to happen to me moving forward, you know? And a lot of these guys have like mental strength coaches and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, it could be beneficial for him, but it had to suck.
I felt a lot worse for him when I thought he was just some pro who like was never there and he was always in the bottom and he finally had his shot. When I looked him up and he was a rookie, dude, this guy's gonna be just fine.
Yeah, I don't feel nearly as bad when I know that I didn't realize he was a rookie.
Yeah, me neither.
And he's with Neiman is been amazing this past year. He won Riviera from start to finish or the Genesis. He's been really good. So I think he's gonna be just fine.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, moving on from golf there, let's go to the playoffs. Let's go to Jimmy Butler. They just came back. I mean, everyone was counting them out. It's going to be the Celtics versus the Warriors. Celtics are going to win Eastern Conference Finals at home last night. They didn't. Jimmy Butler dropped 47, had 9 or 10 rebounds, had 8 assists. I mean, he just played bananas. He refused.
Most points by a Heat player in the playoff game.
Yeah, yeah. And now we're going to game 7 in Miami. I mean,
I still think the Celtics win.
I do too, but
the Celtics are the better team. I think like you got to look, Tatum and Brown did not play very well at the end of the game. They kind of just
Al Horford was abysmal on the offensive end. I mean, he played pretty good defense against Bam. I think Bam had 6 points, but he went 1 for 8. I mean, he just stopped shooting the ball.
I think the Celtics win. That being said, I think Jimmy Butler does not get enough credit for what he does for that. For his team, he is a true leader. He's quietly one of the better players in the NBA, and he goes out and he is a competitor, man. This guy battles night in, night out. He can do it all. He's not just like a perennial scorer. He can facilitate, he can pass, he can rebound, he can make plays on the defensive end. He made a couple timely blocks. I mean, and he gets steals every game. Like, he's just everywhere. He's a really good player. And a sign to me of a guy who's really good is someone who's not necessarily like in the press constantly and like the center of everybody talking. He just quietly goes out there, does his thing. And like, that's a guy that you want on your team. That's a guy that you can rally around. So I still think the Celtics win. I think the Celtics at face value are a better team. I think they have more talent. I think that they have more scoring distributed. Now, I didn't watch the game much until the end last night. Was Hero playing or was he sitting out last night?
I think he played most of the game.
Because the game before he didn't play. So when they have Hero, that's a big chunk of scoring. But like when Hero's not playing, their scoring is, you know, is Butler, you know, you have Adebayo, and then, you know, you have a couple guys who can score here or there. But like, if I look at the Celtics, you know, you have Tatum can put up easily 30 a night. Brown, when he gets hot, can put 20 to 30 a night. Horford in the playoffs has been reborn. This guy can contribute. Williams has been playing pretty good. You know, he's good for 10 to 15 a game. And then Marcus Smart is like a really quietly a really good scorer too. So I just think there's more guys on the Celtics who will be able to make plays than the Heat, but it'll be fun. It'll be a good game seven. And meanwhile, the Warriors again just get to sit back and everything kind of falls into place for these guys right now.
And wait, yeah. Well, the one thing about Jimmy Butler, I will say why he isn't in like that top five players playing right now, or what people are hesitant about, is that he does have some consistency issues. He goes out there and drops 47, and then the next night he could go totally cold and score 13 points. And he's also got this thing where a lot of people think he doesn't really always show up until the game's super important. So like last night they needed a win and he showed up. But when it's game 40 of the regular season and it's just another game in New Orleans, you know, are you going to get the same Jimmy Butler? A lot of people don't think so.
Yeah,
so
but that's, you know what? I want a guy who's going to win when – I want a guy who's going to show up when it matters. Like,
yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it's a huge – yeah.
By the way, the Sixers had him on the team. The fact that – I mean, what a waste.
We kept Tobias Harris.
What an absolute –
Did you see him – did you see when he beat the Sixers? Did you see him go back in the locker room and say, and they kept Tobias Harris over me? Did you see that?
No, I did not.
He screamed it as he was, you know, getting that off his uniform and he was walking in.
Tobias Harris is dead weight, bro. This guy is not good.
Well, he did play a lot better, but no, he's no Jimmy Butler.
$31 million?
I have to –
That's what you're getting on the floor?
Yeah, he's on a max deal.
That is terrible.
We had the option when we had them both at the end of that year after the double, triple doink from Kawhi Leonard, and it went in, and we got bounced off one of the most heartbreaking shots I've ever seen.
That must have been devastating. That was a Kawhi Leonard shot.
Do we keep Jimmy Butler or do we keep Tobias Harris? And those consistency issues came back up with Jimmy Butler. And what we looked at with Tobias Harris was this guy rebounds. He can do assists, and he's got the body of a guy that
Tobias
if he really
Harris
wants to
is
score,
a lot more consistent. He's consistently bad.
Yeah. I mean, just, you know, you have to put your mindset back in 3 years ago. And
I know. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm just saying, look at it now.
But listen,
look,
we made the wrong decision. We made the right, and I don't think you'll find many people who will tell you different. We made the wrong decision. And look, now Joel Embiid's sending out cryptic tweets that he wants to go play in Miami with fucking Jimmy Butler. Because they're best friends and, you know, look
that
how well
won't happen. Don't worry about that. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, but we're upsetting our best play. Anyway, not talking about Sixers, talking about the Heat here. So you think you if you were going to bet it, which you might, but I'm not going to say you are.
I'd say Celtics. I would say Celtics would win. I think Celtics win. And I will say I think the Celtics still win the championship. I said this last time.
Why don't you put a future bet on it? I think they're at like plus 600 right now.
Yeah, maybe it's something to look into. I just think that, again, the Warriors, I am not sold on the Warriors. I am just not sold on the Warriors. I know they've played pretty good, and Klay Thompson is starting to get hot, by the way. That is scary. But I think they're beatable. I really do. I think they're beatable. I think they've gotten – everything has gone their way this postseason. They didn't have to face the Suns. They didn't have to face. I mean, they didn't have to face half the series they played against the Grizzlies was without Ja Morant. It's just been paved for them.
Now, do you actually think that they're beatable, or are you just so sick of them that?
No, I'm actually not sick of them. I used to hate them. I used to hate, when they had Kevin Durant, it was by far my most hated team. And the fact that they were pretty shitty for the last few years, couple of years, they didn't make the playoffs. They were just not great. That to me was like, okay, there was a changing of the guard. They kind of rebuilt. They got some young guys in, like Poole is a super great young player. By the way, this Kuminga guy is going to be really good. I know they don't Kuminga's use him enough, but like they have some good pieces.
Yeah.
And I just think that like now, like I look at them as a team that I don't have anything against them now. You know what I really don't. Klay Thompson is a good story. He's battled back from multiple devastating injuries. And they've had to you know, fight through it. So I don't have anything against them. I really don't. I still hate Draymond Green, but I mean, I can recognize that a team that has a player like him, the equivalent of a guy who's just like an enforcer, strong on the defensive boards, gives 100% night in, night out. He's like a Marcus Smart. Like those kind of guys will help you win championships. You need those kind of guys. So I don't have anything against them. I do think they're beatable. I think that they're beatable, but I might look really stupid if the Heat.
So you like the Celtics to win this whole thing?
I think if the Celtics beat the Heat next game, that they will win this. I think they'll win the championship. Wow.
Hey,
But I know that you like the Warriors.
I do. I like the Warriors. I just think that I have no reason to bet against them. They look fucking good, man. Anyway, moving on. What do you think about Luka? What do you think about Luka and the Mavs? What do they need to do?
What happened to Luka in this series was what I thought was going to happen to them against the Suns. I didn't think Chris Paul was going to just flop. But I remember when we talked, I said I thought maybe the Mavericks might win one game against the Suns. They were just outclassed. Like they were just, you know, they're outcoached too. Dude, Jason Kidd, I don't know. I was watching game two. I had taken the Mavs. Mm-hmm. I'd taken the Mavs plus 7 or some plus 6. And they were up by 15 in the third quarter. And twice, two separate times, the Warriors went on like a 12-2 run or like a 10-0 run. This guy refuses to call a timeout. He continues to, and the place is going bananas, and you know, Oracle Arena is going nuts, and he doesn't call it. I'm like, what are you doing? If I'm up 15, yeah. I'm on the road. It's the second game of a series where we're clearly the underdog. The team's playing great. Call a timeout after a 6-0 run, 8-0 run even. Call a timeout. You're still up 7.
Yeah.
Get the guys, get them composed, get them back. After that game, that series was toast. They blew it. And then I think, you know, mentally, that's just hard to bounce back from. You know what I mean? So I think Luka is going to be a star for years to come. He's one of the perennial superstars of the league. He's an amazing player. You know, and what he did in the, you know, and he's a class act. You know, after the game they lost, he says, you know, they were the better team.
They need a big man. That's the bottom line. They need someone to defend down low. They don't have, not only do they need scoring down low to take some of the pressure off of Luka.
Well, they had Porzingis.
And listen, if he could have been every bit of what he was supposed to be and what sometimes he showed he could be, they'd be in a great
position. I'm sorry. Dinwiddie is not the answer. And that's what they got for Porzingis. I mean, the major piece that they got.
Yeah, but at least Dinwiddie plays. Porzingis is, anyway, the point is, they need not only a guy who can score down low to take the pressure off of Luka, they need defense down low. They get torched inside the paint. It's unbelievable. They give up
easy points.
Some people are throwing out DeAndre Ayton. That would be a game changer for them. I don't know, man.
He shows up real small.
Whoa, you're not a DeAndre Ayton guy.
I am a DeAndre Ayton guy, but that guy, he disappears sometimes in these big games. I would love –
interesting.
A big guy. I would love for them to go after. I'm trying to think who would be a good guy to get. Even a guy like who did you guys have? Who you traded away to the Nets? Drummond. A guy like that would be great for them. He's not so much about scoring, but he's a big time presence. He gets a ton of boards. He's a super defensive player. He would, you know, part of the problem too is they die by the three. There's games I'm watching and they're missing the three. And you got guys like Bullock and Burton's and all these guys. That's all they do. They shoot threes. And it's like, if they don't go in, it's like it's just like throwing up prayers. And I'm like, guys, you gotta attack. You, by the way, if I'm being honest, I don't think that Brunson's going back there next year. So that's going to be another huge, huge toll that they're going to take. If he does, if they don't re-sign Brunson, he's like their second best player. Guy came out of nowhere. And if he goes, he's a free agent. He could probably get money anywhere he wants to go. He had an unbelievable season. He deserves it. But if he leaves, that's another huge chunk that they're losing. So, you watching the hockey playoffs at all?
Yeah, man.
How great is NHL hockey?
It's been fantastic.
In the playoffs, it's the best.
Did you watch the Avs last night?
I did not see it. I saw the game a couple days ago where the Blues were down 3-0 and then they came back. The Avs -1.5, this fucking team. And it's so exciting to watch playoff hockey. And same thing, two nights ago, I had the Oilers. They were down 2-0. I mean, these games are unbelievable. They're down 2-0 to the Flames. They go 2-2. Then it's 3-2, 3-3, 4-3, 4-4. And then they win in overtime, 5-4. Connor McDavid, this guy, I am rooting so hard for him.
McJesus is the most
electric. He's the best thing in hockey.
Player I've seen maybe since a young Sidney Crosby. I mean, this guy is the most fun to watch. If they had a goalie, this
playoff. Oh, Mike Smith is terrible.
He's trash.
He is absolute trash.
If you gave that team even a mid-tier goalie, I don't think they had
Marc-Andre Fleury, even like a guy who has experience, I think they could win the cup.
But I think they could win the cup
with
too.
Mike Smith is so bad. Facing MacKinnon and Landeskog and that's like all these. Oh my god, dude!
And they play defense too. That's the thing. They play defense. So as great as McJesus and Draisaitl and all of them are, it's going to be that much harder to get goals. It's going to be harder to get five, six goals.
The Avalanche, I can't see them losing that series. I just can't. They have such good players. That Makar is amazing as well. What's that?
I said also, but when you play the best player in the world, I mean, you've always got a shot. But
I'm just this
goalie, Mike Smith, this guy is going to throw it away.
Bad. He's bad.
I honest to God swear, I'm not even joking. I think we could put Katsi back there.
If you're watching an oil, that's not.
I think we could put Katsi back there.
But the bottom line is if there's one thing the sportsman can provide you with, if you're watching Oilers games, whatever the line is, just take the over. Because McJesus and Draisaitl can score at will. And you know Smith is letting in at least 3 to 4 goals a game. At least.
True. But I will say you got to watch out. The Avs probably have the best defense. I mean, Tampa Bay is pretty good too. They have one of the best defense in the league. So it's going to be a lot harder. But I do agree, at least on the Oilers side, they're going to let in 4 to 5 a game. And that over's probably going to
hit. Yeah, Kemper is a pretty good goalie for the Avs, but I just think take the over every game the Oilers play. It's just you know that Smith, he looks like a homeless guy they just threw in the net.
Yeah, and even if you don't want to bet it or whatever, if someone wanted to get into hockey, the first thing I would say is watch an Oilers game. Watch McDavid.
It's exciting, yeah. It's when he gets the puck, you just notice, like, even if you didn't know anything about hockey, you'd be like, who is this guy? Like, he just starts flying up the ice. It's like he's playing with boys. Like, he just is on a different level. Every time he touches the puck, something exciting happens. It's like you can't stop watching. It is unbelievable to watch. That being said, I think that the Lightning are going to win the Stanley Cup again. It's going to be a three-peat. Unbelievable. So much for parody.
I think a better matchup, though, for Tampa Bay in this next round.
Carolina.
No, I think the Rangers are a way better matchup.
You think so? I think Carolina's a better team.
I think they're a better team, but I think just specifically to play the Lightning, I think the Rangers match up with them way better.
Why you say that?
And because they play way better defense than Carolina. Carolina, once you get past their front three, I don't think they're that good. I think they have this. I think they're a lot like Edmonton.
I think they have good scorers. Aho and Teravainen, these guys are unbelievable.
I think they have this firepower that is hard to overcome. But I think that the Rangers are a more well-rounded team.
I will give you this. Shesterkin is an amazing goalie.
Yeah, he is.
And Antti Raanta, we already talked about this guy. This guy blows. So I agree with you. I think on the defense for the Rangers is pretty good too.
It's pretty damn good. Now, just really quickly going back to McDavid, do you think he's the best player or at least the most exciting player since Wayne Gretzky?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. No doubt about
from
it.
From an eyeball test, and we talked about this before, Crosby, I think, to me, would be ahead of him just because of the fact that he's won multiple Stanley Cups. He's done right. it for so long. But like, if McDavid can go to the Stanley Cup this year, like if they beat the Avs, that's a huge step in the right direction for him. And if he wins one or two Stanley Cups in the next 5-6 years, I mean, he's so young. People don't realize how young this guy is. He's going to be doing this for the next 10 years. He's not going anywhere. And he's only going to get bigger and stronger and more adapted to the league. Because a lot of times these guys, they come out of juniors and they're like small. Like remember Crosby came out. He was so young. He came out of the QMJHL. And then by the time now you look at him, he's bulked up. Like these guys, they get stronger. They get more adjusted to the guys they're playing against. And it's a difference maker.
Yeah.
McDavid to me, just from us, just a talent standpoint, is a better player than Crosby.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Think he's the best player I've seen since Wayne Gretzky.
The only thing you have to watch out for, which is part of what took Crosby out for a little bit, was these devastating. He had a couple, he had one for sure.
Extremely devastating for an entire concussion.
Yeah, these concussions, dude, especially with, I don't think it would change it. It ultimately didn't change Sidney Crosby, but a lot of these, like when they're smaller players or a lot of defensemen, sometimes these guys skate in the middle of the ice. They act like nothing can touch them, especially defenders, smaller defenders. And then they get knocked on their ass once and they get a devastating concussion. All of a sudden they're skating on the side. They're different players. They're different players. So, you know, and we saw that with, as a Flyers fan, with Lindros. I mean, that guy couldn't pick his head up.
Well, Lindros is a little bit, he was a big player though. He was a little bit different, you know.
Well, makeup. Also he couldn't skate without his head down. His head was always down. So he got these devastating concussions, but he was.
Well, you know what I will say to the league now, they protect the players a lot more than they used to. Like that Scott Stevens hit when he knocked Lindros out that last time, like that hit would probably cost him half a season now. Like that was targeting big time. You know,
well, you want to talk about targeting this Kadri guy. This guy has been putting people on their ass and in hospital rooms for his whole career. This guy's been devastating people and he keeps getting away with it. Now, did you see he was getting death threats after what he did?
No, I didn't see what happened.
Yeah, he put this kid on his ass and I don't think he's back still and probably won't be for a long time. But because of that, he's been getting death threats, man. And it's not – this guy's a dirty player, man.
He wasn't that dirty when he was with the Leafs. He wasn't
that
bad.
Dude, he had a devastating hit on one of the Bruins players when he was with the Leafs.
I'm saying his first couple of years, he wasn't that bad.
Who was it? I forget who he put on his ass, and he was out for the rest of the playoffs. He had a dirty hit on one of the – dude, he's been doing this for a long time. Moving on here. Oh, I wanted to touch base with you one thing before we get out of here, because we're just about out of time here. I know you got to go do some stuff. I want to get your take on this. Do you think it's egregious that maybe 5 days ago, I had never seen Top Gun?
Yeah, that's a little bit
egregious. Is it egregious?
It's a great movie. It's you never heard of Maverick and Goose and like people get dressed up them as in
Halloween. I just never took the Halloween time. Never took the time. I'll tell you what, I had seen the scene maybe on YouTube or a friend showed me the scene of them playing volleyball with sunglasses on with the song playing with the boys. And I was like, I don't think I need to see this movie.
It's a great movie. And when Goose dies, it's devastating.
Yeah. So well, anyway, I watched it the other day and I was nervous also like, well, maybe it was good, but now it doesn't hold up. If there's anyone out there who's listening who hasn't seen Top Gun, go watch it.
Bob probably has never watched it, knowing him.
Yeah, no, I already asked him. He has not seen it.
This guy is the worst with movies, man.
It is an incredible – it's a really great movie, man.
Apparently, the new one is even better.
I heard that too, which is
why Teddy was telling me it was incredible to watch it in IMAX. And you were telling me that – was it? Cruise was flying the jets.
He flies all the F-16s. He actually fly every single scene you see with Cruise in a
how
jet.
How do they give him clearance to do that?
Flying it.
But how do they give him?
Because it's like an actor being able to do his own stunts. He's credited. He's taken the flying classes. Like he is.
I know, but ticket. Those things are worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Those fucking fighter jets.
Yeah, but
to fly.
He has more flying time than any stunt guy they were going to bring in.
I mean, Cruise continues to do it. You want to talk A-lister, okay?
This guy's amazing.
Tom Cruise will be an A-lister on his deathbed. Tom Cruise is a solidified A-lister amongst A-listers. This guy is just doesn't stop.
He's a bona fide stud. I mean, if you want to call him a nut, I think he's definitely
he's got to be, what, in his 40, late 40s, early 50s?
No, dude, he's in his mid-50s.
He's got to be. Like, he's not a spring chicken. He was putting movies out like Mission Impossible in the 90s.
Dude, Top Gun came out in 86.
I mean, yeah, dude, he's this guy is just – this guy is – I mean, if you want to compare, like, somebody, you know, he's a guy, like, if I had to be an actor, like, a guy who's just done it for years and has been top of the fucking plateau, I mean, he's in the discussions. This guy, I think Leo would be there. He'd be there. Maybe Brad Pitt would be there.
Yeah.
Tom Hanks is also.
This guy, he might be a nut with the Scientology stuff, but when you just want to talk about
acting. Is he still into the Scientology?
Oh, hardcore, man. He is a nut.
This guy, yeah, but he's 10 cents short of a guy.
He flies jets. You know, in one of those Mission Impossible movies, he was hanging by his ankle on the top of the highest skyscraper in Abu Dhabi. He was doing his own stunts.
Yeah. He's nuts.
That is amazing.
You got to tip your cap to him at the end of the day. That's
at the end of the day, you got to tip your cap to Tom Cruise.
Whether you really think he's a Looney Tune or not, the guy, he does what he does. You can't deny that. This has been a fun episode. I know it came late, but, you know, I think it's still been pretty fun.
It came late and early this morning, but hey,
are we going to be able to get this out today?
Yeah.
So it's only a day late then. That's not bad.
It's not bad at all. Not for us. Not for our track.
There's a lot of stuff going on. Yeah. Sorry to those listening in advance for the late.
No one's ever called the Sportsman punctual, but we're trying our best.
We just go out there. We strap on the pads. We go out there. We give it what we got. Nobody's saying that we're going to, you know, change the course.
We're like Jimmy Butler. You know, game 40 of the regular season, we might not give you much, but when you need us, when the big moments shine, we'll drop 47 for you. When push comes to shove.
The Sportsman will be here.
All right, buddy. Well, I'm glad you were able to connect all the way over there from DC. Have a great trip. Enjoy the rest of, you're booked all the way until September at this point. But this has been fun. It's always great connecting with you. Another great episode of The Sportsman. That's Joey Coldcuts. I am the Big Ticket. Till next week, folks.